Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners out there in the world. How are you? I hope you're okay. What a weird time this is on planet Earth. Here is my second episode about the coronavirus, which is currently sweeping across the globe in fairly dramatic fashion. This one is an episode of the Rick Thompson Report on Luke's English Podcast. And this is where I talk to my dad, who is a semi-retired journalist, about current affairs and politics. Obviously, the big story at this moment is the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. So let's hear what my dad has to say about this. As I've said, this is the second episode I've done on the subject. Yesterday, I uploaded an episode which covers some of the key vocabulary relating to this issue. So if you'd like to know some more specific words and phrases that will help you talk about this topic, then go back and listen to episode 652. Listening to that first should help you understand this conversation better. And the idea is that getting specific teaching from me and then just listening to a conversation about it, you'll be better equipped with the right language for your own conversations in English about this topic. There's also another episode in the archive, by the way, which is all about vocabulary and phrasal verbs for feeling ill. And that covers all stuff like all of the symptoms and common symptoms and names of like things that you might experience if you're feeling ill. And that is episode 40, recorded, when was that? At least 10 years ago. But I think it's a good one. I spent lots of time listing vocab for describing physical conditions. So anyway, two episodes with specific explanations of high-frequency vocabulary on the coronavirus and on feeling ill in general. The first one being episode 40, which was called health/feeling ill phrasal verbs and expressions. And then yesterday's episode number 651, which was called coronavirus COVID-19 vocabulary. So I'm talking to my dad then in this episode of the Rick Thompson Report. And neither of us are experts on this subject, of course, but my dad does his best to try and stay informed about things like this. And my listeners often comment that they appreciate the clear way that he describes what's going on. Our conversation in this episode focuses mainly on what's happening in the UK at the moment, how serious this pandemic is, what the consequences might be, and how the UK's government is responding to it. Just before we start, I'd like to give you a quick reminder of just two words. That is a cold and the flu. Okay, a cold and the flu. I just want to clarify what these things are specifically. So a cold, or the common cold, it's what we call a mild virus that people typically catch during the winter. It's not very serious. It's just annoying, really, if you have a cold. Having a cold usually means having a sore throat, a bit of a cough, perhaps a headache or a runny nose. But you can still usually work or do the things that you usually do, even if you feel a bit run down. So that's a cold, and we say to have a cold or to have got a cold or to catch a cold. When you refer, in the case of to catch a cold, that is when you refer to the moment that you become infected. So, for example, you could say, oh, I've got a cold. I don't want to go out today. I've got a cold. I've caught a cold. Or maybe even I'm coming down with a cold, which means I'm starting to get a cold. Or I'm getting over a cold, which means I'm recovering from a cold. So that's a cold. Not very serious, but very common. And it's weird because normally cold is an adjective, isn't it? Oh, I feel cold. It's cold in this room, but it's also a noun, meaning that kind of low level, not very serious virus that a lot of people get at various times during the year. So I've got a bit of a cold at the moment. Sorry. So that's a cold. And then there's the flu, the full name being influenza, which is also very common, but much worse because it usually knocks you off your feet. So if you have the flu, and it's the flu, notice that, a cold, but the flu. So if you have the flu, you'll probably have to stay at home, probably stay in bed for several days. The flu gives you much stronger symptoms, like a very bad cough, a high temperature, aches and pains in your body, weakness, very sore throat, and sometimes diarrhea. And you might say, I've got the flu, or I've caught the flu, or I'm coming down with the flu, or even also I'm getting over the flu, meaning I'm recovering from it. So that's the flu, more serious than having a cold. Now, I just wanted to clarify those things because in my experience, there's always some uncertainty from learners of English about the exact difference between a cold and the flu. And they are words that come up in this conversation. But I mean, now we're dealing with a third thing, which is coronavirus, and it's, you know, slightly different in the way that it's affecting people and in the way that the world is responding to it. So anyway, a cold, the flu, and then obviously COVID-19 in this case. All right, so I will talk to you again at the end of the episode, but now let's talk to my dad, and here we go. This is the Rick Thompson Report. With Rick Thompson. Hello, Dad.
Hello, Luke.
Well, how are you?
Well, I hope I'm all right at the moment. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But obviously, we're facing a crazy time. We've got, I don't know how long ahead of us, with all sorts of disruption to normal life.
Yes, we have.
Suddenly, life is no longer normal anymore. And the most immediate thing for us is the fact that, the daycare centre is going to be closed. So we will be looking after our daughter, which is lovely. But at the same time, we're thinking, oh, my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep her entertained? What are we going to do every day? Where can we go? You know,
at least you don't have to go to work. You could both essentially, apart from you going into the British Council, you can both work from home to a certain extent, so presumably you can do it caring for your little daughter in shifts.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to share the duties, and we'll be doing lots of art projects at home. And
very good. It is going to be hugely disruptive around the world, and I take the view that it is extraordinarily serious. Some people are comparing it with the great flu epidemic of 1918-1919, the end of the First World War. There was a huge epidemic which killed loads of people. Some say it killed more than died in the First World War.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But since then, there hasn't been one that is as serious as this, even though we've had other virus outbreaks like SARS and bird flu and swine flu. This one is of a different order. It's much more contagious, and the death rate is much higher, and it's spreading all over the world. So it's a very serious situation.
It might not be clear to everyone why this is different and why the world is reacting in the way that it is, and why the press is being sort of dramatic about it. I'm not sure that it's really dramatic. It's probably
I don't accurate. Think the press in this country has been particularly dramatizing it. I think we've got a reputation for having sensationalist popular newspapers and everything, but so far they've been pretty factual. You know, there haven't been screaming headlines or you're all going to die. I mean, I think they've been really decent so far. But of course, there's a lot of speculation about how serious it'll be, how long it'll go on, what the effects will be, and what's the right action to take. And there are some differences there, quite interesting ones. So here in Warwick, we don't know whether we've got any cases right here. We know in the region we've got about 40 or 50, and the local hospital is preparing by opening up more beds, because there will come a time when there'll be a lot more cases who are so serious they have to go into hospital. What day is it today? Friday. Yeah. 2 days ago I went to help with a volunteer sort of session at the town council, where they have a speaker and a quiz and tea and cake for people who come in, and this happens once a month. And it went ahead as usual on Wednesday, and all these generally elderly people happily came in and sat next to each other and had their tea and everything else. I think there are about 60 or 70 of them. And I talked to a few of them, and there was a general view that, well, it doesn't seem to have had any effect here. And do you think it'll come to Warwick? One of them said to me. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's like having the flu, isn't it? So there's a lot of complacency amongst at least that generation of people. I have to say that these gatherings have now been cancelled for next month, quite rightly, and a lot more restrictions are coming in on not having meetings that aren't essential. Yes, I think there is a lot of complacency, but it isn't like the flu. I mean, it really isn't. This is a much more aggressive virus, which hasn't been seen before. There's no vaccine against it. There's no treatment for it. And as we've seen, it is causing quite a high death rate. The general idea is that it's maybe between 3% and 5%, but it's difficult to say because the official figures, the known cases, are thought to be a big underestimate. So you don't know what percentage of people will actually die if they catch it. But it's if you have 1 million people catching it, and it's 2%, well, everybody out there can do their maths. I mean, it's going to be very damaging.
Yeah, so the question that I've got here is basically, what is all the fuss about? I think you may have answered that.
Yes, I mean, I think some people are thinking that, but all the facts are that this is going to be really bad, and it's going to sort of go for months. We're waiting for a huge spike in cases because it's quite clear that we are about 2 weeks behind Italy and about 1 week behind Spain. And you see what's been happening there. And despite all the measures you take, it's still going to happen. So everyone's kind of getting ready for that and giving the best advice they can.
So
we're waiting for our big boost in cases.
People are saying that there's not really that much that you can do, that the virus is going to spread in any case, even if everyone stays at home, it's still going to somehow spread. But it's a question of whether it spreads quickly or whether it spreads slowly.
It's a very difficult one for us non-experts to know who's right, because the experts aren't in total agreement. If you look at China, where it started, and they had this huge surge in cases. I mean, I think they had more than 80,000 cases registered. That's known. Mm. And over 3,000 people died. And they had this, you know, incredible lockdown and severe measures, which the Chinese can do because they can simply say this is going to happen and it will happen. And according to the latest figures, their number of new cases has dropped right down. Assuming that they're being open and honest about it, it may therefore appear that their lockdown of Wuhan province and strict measures on travel and everything else seem to have contained it. On the other hand, here in the UK, the government has decided not to close the schools, not to take any drastic action and seal the borders and stop flights and everything else. And some people are accusing them of being indecisive and putting the economy ahead of health.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to listen to the scientific advisors. Boris Johnson appears every couple of days for a news conference, and he has on one side of him the medical officer, the senior medical officer for health, and the other one is the chief scientific advisor. These people are not politicians, and they are trying to give the best advice. And they're backed up by a team of other experts. There was one who was on BBC television last night called Professor Graham Medley, and he really is an expert. He's Professor of Infectious Disease Modelling at London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
Yeah.
So he looks at the statistics. He's also a professor here at Warwick University. And he was saying how it's certain that the majority of people will get this.
Yeah.
A lot of people will not even know they've got it, but a lot of people will have like a cold symptoms. Some will get flu-like symptoms where they might get a nasty high temperature. But he says that the modelling says that with this new and dangerous virus, the community ought to develop what's called herd immunity.
Oh, okay.
Herd immunity is a rather strange phrase. A herd is normally a group of cattle.
Cows.
But he's talking about people here in groups.
Yeah.
Herd immunity is basically that if everybody gets it over a period of time, they all then develop immunity. So they can't get it again. And he says there's every chance that this virus will make a comeback next winter. So we may as well just try and manage the fact that people are going to get it rather than try and stop them getting it, which he thinks is pretty well impossible. So we have not closed the schools. They have in France, they have in Länder in Germany, they have in a lot of other countries. And people say, why haven't you closed the schools? Well, that's a very interesting one, because if the kids aren't going to school, where are they going to be? And it seems that transmission of the virus within the home is quite likely. If one person in a house gets it, then everybody else is likely to get it.
What Graham Medley said on Newsnight yesterday was, naturally in periods of isolation, everyone wants to go home, everyone goes home, and then they see the family. They may even take the kids to the grandparents so the grandparents can look after the kids. And then it's older people who are being exposed to it, which is exactly the thing that we're trying to prevent. So
yes, this virus doesn't seem to affect children very much. They've got really good immune systems. As you get older, your immune system gets weaker. And the kids are therefore kind of carriers. And obviously, if this goes on for months, you close the schools, you can't open them again after a few weeks with this virus raging. So they might be off school for months. So, will that do the job? Will it somehow help to contain it or will it not? And the scientific advisors here in the UK are saying it might do more harm than good. So interesting, isn't it, that the expert, I mean, obviously, the other countries are taking expert advice as well, but they've come to a different conclusion. We don't know which is the right one, but at the moment in the UK, it's trying to slow down the progress of the virus, not contain it. It's not containable, really. It's got to be slowed.
Okay.
And the reason it's got to be slowed is that, of course, the health service is going to be in the front line. They will have more of their staff falling ill. But also there isn't the capacity to have lots and lots of people with serious breathing difficulties coming into hospitals where they have to have special beds and they have to have oxygen supplies. So they're busily trying to extend their intensive care units ready for when more and more people come in seriously ill. That's another reason why you're slowing it down. Slow it down so you can get ready.
I see.
Isn't interesting, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I was wondering about Russia. It's this great big country, and they've got only a few declared cases, I think 34 as I speak, which is pretty remarkable. Now, of course, cynical people will say Russia's never been truthful about public information, and they don't have a very good record of being very open. But the fact is they're busily building a new hospital like they did in China. Just outside Moscow, they're hastily building a new hospital. There are pictures of it online. They know it's going to affect them. They know it's going to be bad. So a lot of this preparation is preparing for the worst. And I think they think it will be bad. The other effects, of course, Luke, are about the economic effects. I mean, what can I say?
Can I just, before you go into that, I just want to be clear what it's going to be bad really means. It's a bit tough, isn't it, really, to say, because you don't want to sound unsympathetic and you don't want to be shocking. But ultimately, what this means is that, okay, most people who get it won't die, but it's the people who are weak, who are already sick, who are elderly, who are at risk. And so that sort of 3-5%, could be more, could be less, is probably just a section of society. So when we say it's going to be bad, on one hand, we mean that, yes, some people are going to die as a result of this, but also it's going to put a lot of strain on the National Health Service, because people who are sick with this will naturally want to be you know, they'll want to go to a hospital, and so the health service won't be able to deal with it. So when we say bad, it means people will be suffering either in their homes or suffering in hospitals that are not equipped to give them the care that they need. So people are going to suffer. Another reason why it could be bad is just because of the disruption that will happen and how that's going to affect the economy. So now
that
we can talk about
that. That is right. When I say I think it's going to be very bad, and I'm not a scientist, I'm a journalist, but I look at all the information, I think it is going to be extraordinarily serious this year. And it's those two things, that a lot of elderly and more vulnerable and people with underlying health conditions won't get through it. And so there will be a number of people who will die before their time.
And then we get the mental health issues that arise when we lose loved ones, the grief that will be experienced by many people. And that will affect life in a very sort of powerful way.
Yes, it will. And of course, there's worry as well. A lot of people will, you know, as it progresses, they'll get more and more concerned. And there's a social impact, the social impacts of not being able to go out. Will there be panic buying so that certain shops don't have essential things? And the big impact, of course, on leisure and everything. People aren't going to be going on holiday abroad. All the football matches and other things will be cancelled. So it'll be a strange kind of lockdown, which could be, as you say, very depressing for a lot of people. Whether they'll continue to go down the pub in the UK or go to a bar in Paris and have a drink, I'm not sure. At the moment, here, it's just like life is normal.
Yeah, how are the supermarkets?
They've had some stocking up things. You can't get hand gel anywhere because that disappeared off the shelves a few weeks ago. And for some reason, people have been buying toilet roll in huge quantities. I can't understand that, to be honest.
I can't.
If you think you're going to be locked in your home for a month, maybe that's the one thing you want.
Well, it's like I said in the previous episode, you know, what's worse, like the zombie apocalypse or when you're sitting on the toilet and you realize that there's no toilet paper left? That is one of the worst things. But people are for some reason buying lots of toilet paper.
But it's in most places it's nothing too bad. People talk about panic buying. I haven't witnessed any panic buying. I think people have certainly stocked up, and people have apparently, you know, decided that there are certain things they want to have in the house in case they can't go out for a while, like packets of pasta and things that will keep, long life milk, things like that. But it's been quite reasonable here. The guidance that was issued yesterday by the government, by the Johnson and his two main scientific advisors, changed slightly in that if you have any kind of symptoms of a cold or a cough, then they're saying stay at home for a week.
Self-isolate.
Yes, self-isolate. So that's a slight change. But they haven't banned big sporting events. Today is the big horse race, the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And there's about 20,000 people at the race course. But the Football Association here has just announced that they are going to postpone next week's Premier League games.
Until April.
Yep. And UEFA, the European Football Authority, has postponed all Champions League and Europa League matches next week. And they're thinking. And the Bundesliga in Germany has been suspended. So a lot of countries are saying mass gatherings is going to be, if you like, banned. Here in Scotland, where they have some devolved powers, the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, announced yesterday that they would ban or at least disapprove of any gatherings of more than 500 people.
Okay.
It's difficult to say why 500, why not 300, why not 800, but they're trying to reduce the large gatherings. So that's what's going on here, Luke. The impact you mentioned about the economic shock, well, when I say it's going to be bad, I'm including that.
Yes.
Obviously, the stock markets are going haywire at the moment. The stocks and shares have dropped like a stone, and that affects a lot of things. It affects pension funds, savings and all sorts of things, but also investment in business.
I've heard, that it's equivalent to, if not worse, than the financial crisis we had 10 years ago.
It's looking like it, yes, 2008, 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
When the banking collapses, when there was a kind of domino effect. You might have to explain a domino effect where the banks all kind of fell over and realized they hadn't got enough cash to meet their obligations. And all the governments had to quickly promise everybody that, no, your money is safe. You won't lose it all. We are going to bail out the banks with public money. So that's what happened. And the result was that the governments hadn't got enough money to spend on public services. So we went into the austerity period where they had to try and get their finances back on track. Well, the situation now looks the same. They are going to have to throw money at this, our money, taxpayers' money. 2 days ago, our new Chancellor of the Exchequer announced that he was putting aside £12 billion, euros, if you like, because the values are much the same, £12 billion, £5 billion to support the National Health Service and £7 billion to support businesses that might be suffering immediately. That's, £1,000 million. And it's the same kind of amount as they used to bail out the banks in 2008. One difference is the interest rates are now rock bottom. So if the government is going to borrow money on the markets, then this is as good a time to do it as any. But the impact economically, we're just kind of getting the idea that if airlines go bust, if holiday firms go bust, if little businesses go bust because half their workers can't come into work or they can't get their supplies or whatever, how on earth is the government going to protect them? It probably can't, but it'll have to pay out more in social security benefits for people who are thrown out of work. So the amount of money we throw at this will probably be an awful lot, and it'll be the same everywhere else.
Ah, okay. Fantastic, he said.
Yes, I'm sorry to be so gloomy, but that's my view. I think it's going to be a very serious year, and we have to brace ourselves. As for what people do, well, you've been telling them, Luke, in the last episode.
Yeah.
This thing about washing hands, by the way, I think you said wash it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
No, 20 seconds.
That was a mistake. That was obviously a slip of the tongue.
It was a slip of the tongue.
I said 20 minutes.
I'm sure
that everyone knew that I meant 20 seconds.
I'm sure they did. I don't think people wash their hands for 20 minutes. Your instructions on washing hands was great, trying to get every single bit of your hands covered with soap. It's interesting, this thing about soap. Did you talk about soap, why soap is so important?
Soap versus hand gel, hand sanitizer. I didn't actually. I didn't talk about why soap is a good way to wash your hands and a good way to protect yourself from the virus.
Well,
Go ahead.
We've been getting some advice on that. It's quite interesting. I mean, I wrote down what they said. This virus is a self-assembled nanoparticle.
Wow.
Nano means very, very small, in which the weakest link is the lipid or fatty layer.
Okay.
Now, soap dissolves the fat membrane and the virus essentially falls apart. It does work with, alcohol-based hand gel, but not as well as with soap. Soap's the best.
Yeah.
It contains something called amphipholes or something, which is what breaks down the coating on the virus. So washing your hands with soap is the best thing you can do to keep the virus off your hands. And your 20 seconds, they've said, it's like singing Happy Birthday twice. So we could do that now, Luke.
Wait.
It's Candy Staton's birthday today.
Who's Candy Staton?
She was an American singer. She had a big hit called Young Hearts.
Is that
Run
it?
Free.
It's got to be someone else's birthday. Is that the best you can do?
Neil Sedaka,
Carol, he wrote Carol, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, Carol, don't ever give your heart away. Wait a minute. Famous birthdays.
No.
Is that it? Is that really the best?
Well, I didn't find any others. I haven't been looking very hard.
It's Friday the 13th today, isn't it?
It is Friday the 13th.
13th of March. Hold on a minute. I've got to find someone else.
While you're doing that, I'm going to start washing my hands here. And it goes, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Neil Sedaka. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Candy Staton. Happy birthday to you. And that's 20 seconds.
I can't find anyone else better than those people. I'm just trying. Hold on a minute. There's got to be some actor or someone that everyone. Well, Peaches Geldof. Nah, Bob Geldof's daughter.
Not famous enough.
Not famous enough. I'm struggling.
Anyway,
to find anyone.
I know I've done my hand washing routine and it's quite useful, you know, because 20 seconds is slightly longer time than you'd think.
I've got one, Dad. Lee Jung-hyun, South Korean pop singer, K-pop star, Lee Jung-hyun. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lee Jung-hyun. Happy birthday to you. Twice.
Yeah, all right. Well, we got the message anyway that washing your hands regularly is a good idea. Here we do it every time we come in. So once we've been out, we come in, the first thing we do is do the 20-second hand wash job with soap. And I think that, you know, obviously protects you as well as anything. Wearing masks, as you talked about in your previous episode, nobody around here is wearing masks. And the science is very dubious about whether it does anything or not.
I think the thing about masks is that basically masks can help prevent you spreading it or you giving it to others. It doesn't protect you from
that's
it.
Right, yes. If you have a cough and have a little sneeze in your mask, obviously it's not going to spray about so much. Talking about hand washing, you mentioned a paper towel and throw it away. That's a good idea. A lot of toilets have these fan dryers, hand dryers.
Yeah.
These ones that go
yeah.
It appears that these are not a good idea. Because really? If there are any traces of virus on your hands when you dry your hands, it shoots them all over the room. So the experts are saying, no, a hand towel is much better.
It's a pity, though, isn't it, that we're all going to be using a lot more paper, just throwing paper away.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, okay. All right then, Dad. Well, I don't know what else we can say, really, without this going on for a very long time, but...
No, I think obviously everybody must be watching the news and taking the advice. It's in Europe, we haven't seen the worst of it yet by a long chalk, and then what the economic impacts are going to be will take, you know, many, many months to emerge. But it's quite interesting that here in the UK, at the moment, they're taking it slowly and not closing the schools and not banning gatherings.
There must be critics of this approach, though, Dad. There must be people criticising Boris Johnson for this approach, because this is not the same approach that's being taken in the rest of Europe or even in China and Korea and places like that. So people must be kind of getting quite upset about him saying, why aren't you applying more strict measures to deal with this?
Yes, there is criticism, yes. There's a former Conservative minister called Rory Stewart who's being very vocal and saying that Johnson is sidestepping difficult decisions and we ought to act much more decisively and do it now. What are we waiting for? That kind of thing. And on Twitter, there's a lot of people saying much the same kind of thing. Why aren't we acting more decisively? It looks to me that it's not a political decision. It looks to me like it's a science decision, that they've decided that closing the schools might do more harm than good, and they are taking it day by day and step by step in the hope that the spread of the virus will be slow.
It's a bit of a political decision too, though.
It's also
a bit of an economic decision as well, because Boris is going, well, you know, we can't... close the schools, we can't have too much disruption because money.
Well, he hasn't said that, but obviously if you were the Prime Minister, you'd be looking at the harm to the nation of this course of action or that course of action. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? If you're going to, in many ways, wreck a lot of people's economies, businesses, and so on, if you do something too prematurely, that doesn't actually have much of an effect.
Yeah.
So I'm no fan of Boris Johnson, but I don't think that he's doing this on his own. I think that he's not He's not Trump. He doesn't make off-the-cuff announcements in the middle of the night. The speech he suddenly produced from the Oval Office yesterday, where
Trump,
he said,
Trump.
It's all Trump, it's all Europe's fault, and we're banning all travel from Europe, apart from Britain and Ireland, where he happens to have Trump hotels and golf courses, incidentally, without consulting his colleagues, his allies, in any way at all whatsoever.
Really?
And it's been described as the most expensive speech ever delivered.
Wow.
You know, as a result, the stock markets went crazy. And
so wait a minute. He made this.
He announced it last in the middle of the night, our time. We woke up this morning to hear that he'd done this televised thing from the Oval Office saying, "I'm banning travel from Europe."
So he made it. He announced a travel ban without consulting his advisors.
Absolutely. Well, he didn't consult Germany, France, Britain, or anybody else. The EU.
Right,
he didn't consult the airlines. What I'm saying is, Boris Johnson is not Donald Trump.
So
I'm not a fan of Boris Johnson at all, but I don't think you can at this point say that he's acting as a sort of crazed dictator.
So
he's not.
So he's not making unilateral decisions.
Certainly not. They have a committee called the COBRA Committee. It's an acronym. I can't remember what it stands for. Sounds nice, though, doesn't it? It's the name of a snake.
COBRA.
The COBRA Committee.
It's an emergency committee. It's an emergency committee. Yeah. When there's a crisis, COBRA get together to sort out the crisis.
Yeah. Well, these top scientists are, you know, in the COBRA Committee, which is meeting every two or three days, and, you know, along with ministers. And I think that they look at the facts and try and come to a decision which they think is most sensible. So they're not doing it kind of just knee-jerk, as we say, reaction.
Yes.
So I hope I haven't depressed all your listeners. They're probably depressed already. South Korea's got 8,000 cases, but it doesn't have a particularly high number of people who've died. Maybe because they've got a good healthcare system, I don't know. But Europe is bracing itself for a big increase in cases.
What can I say? Stay in, read books, listen to podcasts, and keep your chin up.
Yeah, that's one thing people can do is listen to Luke's English podcast. And if they want to improve their English, what better way of doing it?
Exactly. The conditions are perfect for doing a bit of self-study of English. It'll be interesting to see how people react to this and how people become resourceful and how people find ways to adapt to these changing scenarios. People are inventive and it'll be interesting to see what people come up with. Yeah.
Okay. That's the scene at this moment on Friday, the 13th of March.
Yeah.
And no doubt we'll see how it develops in the coming weeks.
Yes. Thank you for talking to us on the podcast, Dad. Can I just say, on behalf of my listeners, thank you, and they enjoy listening to you.
Well, I hope so. I've depressed everybody too much.
Wow.
And good luck. And I hope things over there in Paris aren't too difficult for you.
We will see. The sun's shining today, lovely blue sky, and that helps a little bit.
Well, that's one thing we can do. We're close to the countryside here, so we can go for nice walks in the country if the weather's good. So we'll probably be doing that quite a bit more.
Yeah, maybe what the three of us will do here, we might even sort of try and book ourselves into some nice little house in the countryside for a week in April for the Easter holidays and just kind of like get away from it all.
Yeah,
we
that
will see.
Would be nice. Would be very nice, bit of fresh air and no contact with lots of people.
Yeah. All right then, Dad. Well, have a good afternoon, and I'm now going to edit all this together and publish it as soon as possible.
Okay.
All right then.
Good-o.
Okay. Well, good. Speak to you again soon.
Yeah, speak to you again soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right, so there we go. Thank you again to Dad for his contribution. I wonder what you think of the UK's position on this whole thing. I expect that some people will definitely disagree with the apparently casual approach that the government is taking. Is it irresponsible not to close the schools and put the country on lockdown? Is it possible to really stop the virus from spreading? Is it better to let the population get exposed to the virus in order to create herd immunity? Or is that just irresponsible because, you know, people will die as a result? Is this, you know, why is the government doing this? Is it because of economic reasons? Are they putting the economy before public health and the suffering of weaker people? Is it realistic to imagine that putting everyone in isolation will actually curb this? I don't know all the answers, but I'm curious to read comments from people in different countries. So what's going on where you are? How is your country responding to this? Get in touch, leave a comment on the website. Where are you? In which country do you live? What's the situation there? What are people doing and saying? So this is all pretty weird, isn't it? It's a very weird time. 2020 is turning out to be a pretty weird year. It's like something out of a film. The whole world is facing this situation and it is really impacting on our daily lives already. Speaking for myself, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how long this is going to go on. I don't know the extent to which the country where I live will be on lockdown. And as a result, I don't know how the podcast will be affected. In terms of LEP Premium, as I said previously, there is a new series coming very soon. And I just have to put the finishing touches to it before publishing it as soon as possible. So I think you'll get Premium number 21, part one, coming within a couple of days and the other episodes coming after that. The series, Premium 21, is about common errors. This first one dealing specifically with linking words of contrast, words like despite, in spite of, and although. Plus some spelling and pronunciation of tricky words. To sign up to LEP Premium in order to hear all of the episodes, and there are over 60 premium episodes now, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium to sign up. And there are worse ways to spend your time during this situation than using my content to really push your English. In a weird way, in terms of learning English, as I said to my dad earlier, this is not necessarily bad if you're able to stay in and just focus on self-studying, doing lots of reading, doing lots of listening of podcasts and stuff. Could be a good opportunity to work on your English anyway. But more seriously, my thoughts go out to you if you are directly affected by this, if you are maybe suffering, or if you know someone who's suffering from it, my thoughts go out to you. So what more can I say at this point than just keep calm and carry on? I don't know if I will be referring to this again in future episodes. This isn't the coronavirus podcast. So in future episodes, it'll probably just be business as usual. I don't know if I'll be constantly sort of talking about the virus and, oh, what about this? Even though it's on everyone's minds, I think it's just going to be business as usual for future upcoming episodes of the podcast. As long as I actually manage to get the time to produce more content, I might be spending all my time just hanging out with my daughter, keeping her busy. And maybe when she's, when I'm not looking after her, maybe I'll be exhausted and just collapsed on the sofa or something. I don't know. We will see. But as I said, leave your comments on the website and I will speak to you soon. First in a premium episode and then in other episodes of Luke's English Podcast, which are yet to be decided / recorded. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you again to my dad. I'll speak to you again next time. But for now, it's just time to say take care and goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.